This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR.
Welcome, my friends, to the World Winning Speedway Show down at Madeira. Here at NPR.NZ999AM, we talk Speedway, Robertson Holden International Speedway. Plus, we talk with drivers and track managers, promoters from other tracks around New Zealand. Chris, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, Stu.
Yeah, good, Chris. Good to be back on doing it in the dirt with you, mate.
Yeah, this is one. We got Ewan in the studio. How are you, Ewan?
Oh, I'm bloody nervous, guys, you know. But no, I'm good. I'm good. Looking forward to it.
Yep. He wants to come on the Doing It in the Dirt show to talk all about the Kings, Speedway Garage and Brewers.
Yeah, well, the main motivation was to make sure the Wildcats don't get too much airtime, to be honest. So I've been hearing about that for years, so
yeah, typical. It's all about the Pumas now, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
We're good. Right, I talked to James and
Luke.
That's it. Forgot. James and Luke over the, last week about the upcoming Queensland Stock Car Champs that was happening at Maryborough over the weekend. Up there, obviously, in Queensland. And luckily for us, we've managed to catch up with the new Queensland Stock Car Champion, the 42, I was going to say 62, that's Luke's number,
yep.
The 42 of Travis Mahari. Mahari. I said it wrong already. Travis Mahari.
Hey, boys have got to keep it real, you know. Can't get it right the first time.
Well, it's better than Travis Murray. At least it was a little bit different, wasn't it?
It is. But you know, hey, I'd hope you guys would get it half right, being Kiwis.
Yeah, it's a Kiwi. It's the Aussie accent that you've got there, mate.
Hey.
Well,
don't be staring at me like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Right. Just rewinding a bit, mate. How did you get into Speedway?
Oh, mate, I grew up with it, with the old man. He raced stock cars in Palmy for years and years, and so I sort of just grew up with it. Never ever got a chance to kick him out of his car and go for a skid in his car, because I sort of veered off and went my own venture, hanging out with my mates in their drag racing cars and doing that over there. Then I moved over to Aussie and checked them out when I first got here and thought, oh yeah, nah, this isn't for me. And then reconnected with a couple of mates that have gotten into it over here since then. And showed the wife, and the wife reckons, oh yeah, it's all right. Says, oh, can I buy it? And she reckons, yeah. So yeah, I bought the car and went and gave it a crack, and yeah, come away with some goodies.
Yeah, this is sure. And you bought the car off another mate of ours, Sean Knight.
Sean Knight, yeah. Yes, another Palmy boy.
Yeah, you mentioned your old, just going back a bit, you mentioned your old man raced stock cars over here in Palmy. Who was that back in the day?
Oh, George Freer.
Oh, there we go. From down Foxton. Hey?
Yeah, yep, him and Tangy.
Yep. Good Palmy Puma, see?
Yeah, I was actually having a beer with him the other day out at Reese's Workshop.
Yep.
Still
got that ute with his 32P number plate. Yeah, probably.
Has he?
He's retired now too, eh?
Oh, yeah. And saying that, I haven't seen or spoken to him in probably about 15 odd years.
What a stitch up, Chris.
Yeah.
There we go.
I asked him to take his car for a drive. He said no, so I couldn't bother talking to him again.
The truth's all coming out on Doing the Dirt. Oh, man. Hey, at least you're over there now racing away, Travis. And obviously, you picked up that car this season, yeah?
Yeah, I picked it up three meetings ago, so that was my third meeting that I've ever done, third time on the dirt, you know. So, yeah, I just jump in and give it as much of the jando as I can, and you know what's the worst can happen, bounce off a few concrete walls, you know.
Yeah Bearing in mind, when you say third meeting, it's literally third meeting ever on the dirt.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly right. Exactly.
Yeah, The only dirt I play on was on the dirt bikes and motocross bikes. But yeah, this is the first time I've been. Oh, and I done one. The old man let me do a demolition derby in Palmerston North when I was like 15 or 16. Awesome. So
Nice. So coming into the old Queensland champs, you would have had no expectation at all, really, would you?
Nah, not at all, man. I don't run with expectations because that way you don't get disappointed.
Yeah, that's for sure.
True.
Just going back a bit, did you do much of the car since you got it offshore, or just jump in it and drive it?
Oh, no, I got it home and went over it a bit, and I'm a little bit OCD on a lot of things, and I just, man, the car's pretty good, just needed a few tidy things up and just to make things a little bit more bulletproof. And but other than that, like, yeah, I didn't really. Oh, actually, I did. I changed the body on it. I had to widen her up because, you know, they're only really small fellas over here in Aussie, so they've got really small cars. And I was looking like a bear in a cat cage.
James isn't that small.
That's for sure. So, yeah, he can relate.
No, exactly right. Is it? So, obviously, I see on there the car went to old JP's race cars, and we know they're pumping out a few Pete Rees copies.
Yeah, Justin's up there smashing them out for us, trying to get as many cars out on the tracks to develop it over here. You know, try and catch up to things like back at home sort of deal. And obviously, there's a few more boys out there building, like James and. And Peter Hoskins. So the sport's coming along in a nice fast fashion sort of deal. So yeah, which is good because it did sort of stay a bit stagnant for a while over here.
But with
all the new boys coming on, well, all the new builds and the new builders coming out pumping out cars, hopefully she'll grow pretty quick.
Yeah, that's for sure. How much of a game changer are those Rees chassis going to be, you reckon?
Oh, bro, they're going to be a game changer, all right, you know. And all saying that, everybody knows that, you know, it's not the biggest horsepower on the field that can take the flag of the day, you know, and I proved that with my little 253.
I see leading into the event you had a bit of an oil pressure issue. What was the go there?
Oh, yeah, no, the old oil pressure decided to go on vacation when I decided to load it up on Friday morning. It just blew the oil filter apart. So, got a new oil filter, chucked that back on, and went to start her up, and she still wouldn't prime up the oil pressure. So I was, me and a mate were in there pulling the oil pump out and pulling it full of grease and doing every Bowman Horry trick that we could think of to get the old oil pressure back from holiday. And yeah, she come back at about 8:30 at night, and so I loaded it up and didn't touch it then until we got to the track.
And she was mint the whole night?
Oh, nah, it kept going, like, disappearing intermittently, but I just call it a faulty gauge now.
Oh, no.
Just cover it up.
The wife gave me the okay. I says, oh, babe, I think we might be a little bit hurt here. And she's like, oh, well, what does a little bit hurt mean? I says, well, yeah, it could blow up. She goes, oh, well, I says, oh, I'm allowed to blow it up. She says, yep. I says, sweet, that's a faulty gauge then.
How would that handle in the Beamer, mate? That wouldn't handle very well, Ewan.
No, it wouldn't do. Hey, Travis, it's Ewan here. How far do you guys have to travel? I mean, these guys obviously know all about stock cars over in Aussie. I don't know a hell of a lot at all, but it would be... I'd say there's a lot of there a lot of distance between tracks that you guys have to cover if you want to... Obviously, you've only done your three meetings, but next year you'll be looking at doing some travelling. How far do you have to go to do what you need to do?
We have got a bit of travel over here with Archerfield shutting down and that. But I think the closest track to us is about an hour and a half, hour and 40, and that's either Lismore or Gatton. And then otherwise, we can travel up towards 4 or 5 hours. There has been talk that we could even be looking at doing a WA mission or a Northern Queensland mission, because apparently there's some fellas over there with a car, and James is building one for up far north Queensland. So, yeah, you know, we'll do what we got to do to have fun.
Yeah, no, it sounds good. And what about Speedway Garage? You reckon we could fit one of those in Queensland? You might have to get a few more cars. We'll be over there.
Oh, mate, I've got a pretty big shed out the back of my place. Everyone's welcome around here.
Yeah, convert it.
Convert it to a Speedway Garage bar, you reckon?
You know it.
Could be the next business venture there, you and mate. Could be. So, how far is Maryborough for you again, from where you're based? Because other guys, it's about 3 hours, some it's an hour.
Yeah, no, it's around about the three-hour mark. We're on the Gold Coast, so, yep. It is what it is. But in saying that, over here in Aussie, it's a lot different to back home. You know, an hour and a half, 2 hour travel in Aussie is just down the road, whereas it's bloody half the country back at home. So, we travel hour and a half to work every day on the coast, some places. So, yeah. Yeah, it is what it is, really.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Let's have a run-through of the night. And obviously, coming to the New Zealand format, normally you guys run three races and then a feature, and basically the feature winner is the champion. That's how it's been decided in the past. But this time round, it was full-blown three heats, supposed to be front, middle, back grids. But obviously, as the numbers dropped off through the night, it changes up. But three heats and top on points took the title this time around. Obviously, only doing the, well, two meetings beforehand, it wouldn't really faze you how it went. I know a few of the others were sort of iffing and ahhing about the format, but it was something different for the title, wasn't it?
Oh, mate, it's perfect, you know. Like, doing it over the three makes you fight all night instead of, you know, sitting back and waiting to flog it out on the last race, you know. Just keeps everyone honest, I reckon, and chasing, and also gives the, you know, like we got a Sheila Sam running number 19. Man, she's been going awesome, and the way she was going, if us faster boys had broke, she would have taken that out, you know. So it's anyone's game over the three heats, which is, you know, makes it a bit more fun for everyone.
Yep. Gets a bit of the old blocking going on too, if need be.
100%, as we've seen.
Yeah. How good was that seeing those boys on the pole line?
Sorry, what was that?
How good was it seeing those boys on the pole line in Heat 3?
Oh, mate, it was unreal. You know? Like, I was chasing him down, and, you know, once he's got a run on, old Fipsy's pretty hard to catch, mate. Like, little bugger flies, eh? I give it to him, he's quick. He made the mistake of being a bit cautious around the back markers. You know, my background, I know that you just drive through them instead of around them. So, yeah.
Because in the first race, you started grid six, finished up third behind Fipsy, and then the second one, you're off two, and finished up second behind him. So you were 2 points down on him going into that final heat, and then there was only really six cars left, which isn't a lot to help a points differential like that, being that you'd had to basically put two or three between you and Scott there just to win it. So you get cars on the pole line, it sort of takes those cars out of it to get cars between you and him to win the title.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. But, you know, it was, yeah, how they run it was perfect sort of deal. Like, I'd like for them to do that on every meet, you know. And, you know, like most of the other, well, the other meetings that we've been to, Fipsy normally starts on pole, and, man, in all honesty, when Fipsy starts on pole, it's really hard to wind him in, you know. You just got to drop back that lap and try and take him out, you know. but which was going to be my second option after he had a run. But then I seen a few of the other boys were hunting him, so I thought, well, if one of them gets them, you know, it'll open the door up. But like you said, I had to come in four places ahead of him, so with six cars.
Yeah.
Which I thought, yeah, definitely wasn't going to happen. But you never stop till you hear the fat lady sing, eh?
Exactly. Yeah, so to start with 10 cars in that first race, how many did you end up starting with in the second race? Because I see there's 10, obviously the grids were done for 10, but was there 10 for that second race in the end?
No, there was 9.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's not too bad, I suppose, losing one.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad in the second heat, but like it seems after the second there was only 6 cars, but you know, next season's going to be a lot different. We're looking at a probably, you know, 15 to 20 car field.
Yep.
So you know, it's going to bring the action in, especially on these really small tracks with that many cars.
Yeah, exactly right. And I mean, that second heat must have been pretty full on to jump down to buddy 6 going into the last.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess, yes and no. You know, I guess a couple of the shots were lucky shots sort of deal, or unlucky shots, and then mechanical issues, which you can never help, which was Mike Foley blew his gearbox.
Mm.
But yeah, you know, that's racing, I guess.
Would you say, like, over here, even like a gearbox going and that gets fixed between races, especially for a championship. Would you say over there it's just a whole different way they approach sort of repairing the cars or maintaining the cars compared to, say, what you've seen for what we do over here?
Yes. At this stage, yes. But that is changing dramatically.
Yep.
You know, Q5 spun out in front of me in the second heat, and it was in front of me, and yeah, like I says, I drive through, not round, so I gave him a good smack and folded his side rails in and that, and as soon as he's in there, old James is out there fixing it up, welding it up, cutting, shutting, doing what we could to get him back out, which we did,
yep.
You know, and primarily, you know, that's he's one of the ones that contributed to me taking Q1, you know, because if the boys didn't get that back on the track, yeah, he was the fourth place that I needed.
Yeah, exactly right.
So yeah, it's everything's changing, and I think definitely changing for the better. It's definitely changing for growth, and we're definitely hoping to, you know, push more of that. Like, you know, I go to races and, you know, I'm packing my welder, I'm packing my spare steel. Like, you know, I'm taking that mentality to the track.
Mm.
You know, and I dare say a few of the other boys are starting to too. You know, and you know, with all these different drivers coming in, I think they're probably a little bit, you know, coming in a little bit more like New Zealand styles. And so, you know, the hits are starting to come along and get bigger. And so, yeah, we just need to develop the cars a little bit more to be able to cop them and last the racing.
Yep.
Yeah. The last time I was talking to James, he was saying something about you guys are trying to get the rules changed to our rules. Has that come about anything?
Man, I cannot. I've heard whispers, but I can't. I can't comment on that. As I'm only in the club. I'm not on the committee or anything. I've got to wait 12 months before I can try and get on the committee. But I have heard of a whisper, and in all honesty, man, I hope that it does, because that's just going to open up a gateway to, you know, all the Kiwis sitting over there,
yeah,
not wanting to move to the nice sunny Aussie because they don't want to give up their racing.
Chuck the car in a container, you know, and send it over, eh?
You know it. Yep. Apparently, there's been word that there's already one landed over here. Yep. Apparently,
from here. Yep.
Yeah, there's one floating.
It's a stock car.
Yeah, there's one floating about somewhere. One or two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Good
so,
stuff.
Yeah, fingers crossed, man. Hopefully, I know I'll be putting my hand up to change it, even though, you know, it's going to be a bit of work for the cars that are on the track now. But hey, where the club is at the moment, everybody's keen to just jump in and help everyone out. So, yeah, you know, it should come along good.
That's the one. So off season, that was the last meeting of your guys' season. It's off season now. Being that you've only done the three meetings, I suppose it's time to really put a touch on the car, your own touch properly on the car, now that you've got a fair bit of time up your sleeve, and I guess get the paintbrush out and put the Q1 on the side as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. I was actually on the old Facebook today, putting the message out if anyone knew of any sign riders and that. Obviously, I want to try and get my body done how I want it and get the car looking the way I want it, quick, smart, because on the off season I want to try and you know, get amongst a few of the car shows and yep. and car events over here in the Gold Coast and Brisbane, and to get our name out there, you know, because mate, there's still shitloads of Kiwis over here that wouldn't even think that we've got stock cars over here. So, you know, big push this off season to get our name out and hopefully recruit some more new keen drivers and cars and yeah,
me
get
that's
it building and get it happening.
Yeah, that's for sure. The main problem over there is the wall, eh?
Yes, yeah, that is definitely the main problem. But in saying that, you know, we've talked about this in the club and stuff, and we can still put the show on with the big hits and stuff, you know, and keeping off the wall as much as we can. That there is a little bit of a holdback for us, but we're working on that. I think there's a couple of tracks that have approached us or something, saying you know, that they're happy for full contact and stuff, but yeah, it's just a case of just chipping away at the track officials and just trying to sweeten the deal as much as we can with them for them to be a little bit more lenient on us with touching their walls.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's good that Maryborough let you come back after James put a hole in their wall last year.
Well, it is very good, actually. it wasn't really a hole. It was a bloody car garage, wasn't it?
Pretty much,
yeah. Driven straight through it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was your car that put him in, too.
Yeah, and there'll be a lot more of that.
Nice one.
Travis, what kind of investment goes into a car over there? And it's one of the things I'm just sitting here thinking, I'm invested in a few cars. Oh. If you adopt our rules, I'm anti some of our rules, and one of them, over here, stock cars are supposed to be an affordable class. It's becoming ridiculously expensive. Super stocks has been off the charts for a while, and it's just...
Yeah,
getting further off the charts, so it's something to be careful of there. For real,
man. At the moment, 100%. It's definitely an affordable class. You know, I picked up my whole package for I think it was like $15,000.
Yeah,
and you know, so yeah. And I broke the diff, and that's really all I've done this season. It's affordable at the moment, but like any sport, as it develops, you're going to get these big hitters with big pockets, you know, that'll come in. It's staying pretty even, you know. Like, we have got big dollar cars, and we've got cheap $2,500 cars, you know, that are going around. But yeah,
with the right,
it all depends what you.
Yeah, I think where you're at with the sport there and the right sort of, you're in a real good position because, like you say, it's growing. There seems to be more interest. But I think you've also got an opportunity to look at maybe some of where we've gone wrong in terms of their fallibility over here and just correct it as you go, because even with a stock car class, it should still – I mean, obviously a little bit of money helps, but it shouldn't matter if you've got a heap of money. If you do the rules right – you can still make it affordable and a level playing field. So it comes down to driver skill. And I know two or three drivers that are living in Australia that if they had the money when they were here racing, would have done really well. We've got one that races for us now. He's just got himself a really, really good car. He's been racing for 20-odd years. All of a sudden, he's got himself to the top of the game. Mm. And it's only because I've spent so much time in the sport without being able to invest, you know, enough to get forward. So I think it's exciting to hear what's going on over there. It'd be great to have a team come over here, a stock car team. I'd be all over that and helping out with make that happen. But I also reckon you've kind of got a responsibility, you guys, if you're pioneering the sport and moving it forward, to make sure you don't lose sight of it. Because when it's not affordable, it's also not enjoyable.
Yep.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously, you know, the way the day and age is today, cost of living is hard enough. So yeah, you know, fully on board with that. You know, try and develop it in a controlled manner so that everybody can come and have fun, because that's what it's about. More people, more fun, you know.
Yeah, keep the families involved and get it back to from where I see it over here, it's where it should be. Mm. And it's hard to go backwards because people have already invested money. One rule change in the superstock class in motors and you've got a $70,000 motor that's worthless, you know.
Yep. Whereas you guys in Aussie, I guess you've got a blank canvas to do it right.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, yeah. The committee's definitely banging their heads together pretty hard over the last 6 months to come out with our new rule book, which I think they're going to be releasing that hopefully at the AGM, fingers crossed that, yeah, we'll see what they come out with.
Yeah, exactly right.
Is there like a restriction on those? Do you run like a rev limiter, or what have you got in terms of the restriction on your motor there?
6 litre. Yeah. So nothing over 6 litre. That's it.
So, it would be a great sport to go into with a checkbook then, yeah. So, I mean,
simple. Yes, it would.
Yeah, I've always thought if you just, everyone bought a rev limiter, which just gives you, just do whatever you want, but you can't go over 7,000 revs or something, or 6.5.
That's, I think, what the POMs have got, eh?
They're very similar,
I'm pretty sure it is, yeah.
Just throw that at it, and then people can do whatever they like. It's pretty hard to get something to go real good if it's not revving hard, you know, or real, real good, but it's also cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, that's the thing, you know. Like, I guess, I suppose, restrict the engine and, everyone can develop the chassis and suspensions and their driving.
Yeah, correct.
Like you said, we'll definitely keep the costs, for everybody to be able to afford, not just the big pocket fellas.
Yeah.
If you got the chance to come and have a skid over here, would you?
100%. That's what I am actually pushing for. Like, this is
Puff the chest out now that you're Queensland champ, eh?
Sorry?
Puff the chest out now that you're Queensland champ. Get a drive over here.
Oh, yeah. You know it, you know.
So what are you looking at? You want to come over and drive a stock car or a super stock?
Oh, man, that's a silly question. Of course I want to get into the super stock.
All right.
Definitely. You know, hey, if I'm one of these fellas that if I'm going in, I want to go in full hog. And, man, I'm fiending to have a run over there because I want to be amongst, you know, the big hits and and the fast cars, you know. I want to feel getting hammered into a wall and stuff like, yeah. What I've been watching growing up.
I was just going to say, I think Ewan was going to offer you a drive until you said that.
Looking at his face, he's like, you know, that's all right. We'll pass on that.
I'm pleased that I didn't offer that up before you said that.
I can be nice sometimes.
I'm sure we'd get you a drive easy enough. We've got a spare car now.
Yeah.
The Red Beast.
Well, yeah, you do have a spare car. There you go. Yeah. Look at that.
Oh. Yeah, just get over here.
Anytime.
Global mate, challenge.
I can be there. I can be there by the end of the week.
It's off season. Puck took the fence down last week.
Yeah, the fence is down.
Definitely something definitely something to work on getting a bit of exchange going once the numbers start building up over there and get some cars that the Kiwis can come over and slot into. It'll be bloody awesome.
Well, that's where the game plan is at the moment. I know there's a couple of blokes in the club that are trying to build up a couple of cars that are going to be fit for the boys to come over and have a jam with because, yeah, you know, we are really wanting to try and do the old swapsy things and, you know, come over as an Australian team. Just don't call us that.
Yeah, the Mozzies.
Going back to the rule change, mate, how cool would it be if it does happen? You'd be able to go out to Reezers, get all those ones from the graveyard and get them going over there.
Out the paddock.
Oh, you know, that is the whole reason why we're looking to try and go that way. Because how good would it be to thrash one of them around in these little tracks?
That's exactly it. Hey, Travis, it's been awesome chatting with you. We could probably chat for ages and ages and ages about this, but Queensland champion, bloody awesome, mate. Too good, eh, in your third meeting.
Yes, thanks, guys.
Awesome.
Thank you, Travis.
Yep, cheers, Travis. Cheers for jumping on, eh, and we'll keep in touch. We'll follow it up next season.
Awesome. Thanks, boys. All good. Be safe.
Yeah, bro. Yep. Cheers, you too. Mate. Have a good one.
See you when you come over.
Yeah.
Yep, I'll see you at the end of the week.
See you, right.
See you, mate.
Catch up.
Oh, there we go. Queensland Stock Car Champion, Travis Mahari. Got it right that time at the end.
Awesome. This is not Murray.
Yeah, well, that's true. Right, we're going to take a real quick break here on Doing It in the Dirt. On the other side, we'll figure out what's going to happen.
If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. NPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out npr.nz for more information.
Well, welcome back to Doing It in the Dirt on a Friday at 4 o'clock. And you can hear a replay Sunday, 3 o'clock. And we're also on demand and Spotify. There's Stu.
And Apple Play.
Yep,
right. Obviously, as you know, heard now, Ewan Means is here. The new host of Doing It in the Dirt alongside Chris, because I'm stepping back after this for a wee bit, and you're going to keep the seat warm for a bit, and then we're going to find another new young fella as well.
Exactly. Yep. I just wanted to make sure that you know what you're doing by stepping back. You'll probably want to come back in a couple of months. That was the...
Well, the thing is the Poms have already been actually on to me, and they want to make sure that they can still come on the show, so I'll probably sort them out, because it means getting up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to talk to Ryan Harrison.
I'll be on my way home from work. I could just do it on the way out.
There you go. Yep. Those Poms do love a good chat. Tom Harris, Ryan Harrison, Frankie Wayman Jr. They do love a good chat.
Yep. And they'll have a few good Kiwis going there this year, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, they will. They will. Hopefully Bex gets the seat as well. She's going over.
Yep.
She's waiting to see who actually decides to take up their invitation. So.
Yeah, I think they've sorted it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's all sorted now.
She is all sorted.
Yeah. So there you go. But Ewan, what are you going to bring to the show?
Well, hopefully something a little bit more interesting than you have for the last couple of times, because you know you're on the way out. But no. I don't know. I'd like to think that you'll be back. So I just figured I'd just come along and help out for a little bit. But obviously we can... bit of connections there with talking to some people, hopefully get some more, you know, well, not more interesting people, but we can get some people on that don't normally show up very often. twist their arms, and just keep it real, I suppose.
Do you know more than stock cars and super stocks?
I know nothing about Speedway, mate. I'm just here to fill in the gaps.
Cool, because Chris battles away. He's slightly got the hang of street stocks now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it could be very one-dimensional
from
my side, but, hey, we all know that pretty much everyone loves super stocks regardless. So.
When I came along, it was basically like, hey, bro, should we ring up Peter Rees this week?
Yeah, well, now it's like this week we've got Bruce Robinson. What's happening, Bruce?
Yeah, that's all right. Bruce loves his chats. Yeah, you can't leave Bruce out.
Well, we won't leave him out, but we could just, you know.
Yep.
Might have Puck on instead.
There you go. Amanda. Could have Amanda.
Puck's a hard man to get.
Could have Amanda on.
Yeah.
Murray.
Could. Yeah. Yep. And no more bloody Wildcats and Wellington, you know, bashing all the time. Mind you did change quick when you got a management role at Pumas, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hey, the King's offer was nice that you gave me, but not quite there yet, just like Daniel Burmester.
Yeah, that's true too.
Maybe we could come as a 2-for-1 package once we've won the stock car teams.
Yeah, well, little do they know you're only pulling out of this so you can manage the Kings, you see. There you go.
Oh, good stuff. Hey, Speedway Garage, it's been going, well, nearly, what?
2 years.
2 years? Yeah, 2 years.
It's good. And you're going to put me on the spot here, but no, Palmy's been going just over a year.
Yeah.
Because we had April teams champs.
Yep. Remember
we
had
the, and then it went on, and then Whanganui's into 9 months, so it didn't take us long to open the second one.
Yeah.
And third one is definitely going to be happening in Taranaki.
Yep.
So that's kind of like, I can't say too much about that, but it's in negotiations at the moment.
Which town in Taranaki? Can you say that?
Nah.
Okay, cool.
Nah, because it'll give it away and the deal's not done yet.
All right.
But we're working on it. So it has to be in Taranaki.
Yeah.
So it's been well received, and we're going to thank everyone in the Speedway community for making sure they stop in, which they do when they come to Palmy and or Whanganui.
Yep.
A few changes to come. We've got a bit of a refit happening in Palmy. You know, we just put the garden bar in there, which has changed it up again.
Do you sort of notice, and this is a bit of a business question here, but with Whanganui now being open, did it drop Palmy a little bit?
No, it didn't. I think the offering we've got, like even though it's a Speedway themed bar, it's a pretty good offering even if you're not interested in Speedway in terms of the food package and stuff. But no, and it's an interesting place to go and have a look at. You know, you go into a lot of bars and that, and you can look around. There's only so much you can look.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of memorabilia. We're all about the pinball machines and other bits and pieces. So, yeah, it's...
If you can get Troy off it.
Yeah, exactly. So far, so good. I mean, so far, so good. But like I say, it's Whanganui's been real interesting. It's a little bit scary. We spent a lot more than what we should have in Whanganui on that place. And the locals are just... OTT in terms of support of there. So there's guys that I know for 9 months now go there at least 4 or 5 times a week.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah, they basically live in that public bar side
of
Speedway Garage, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So obviously third one, Taranaki, then have you got – is it just as me and Jason were being spontaneous opening vape shops, it was like, there's a good shop, let's just get in there. Is it a bit like that or do you know which towns you want to target next?
You kind of do. You've really got to target a publican and try and get a decent or you know that maybe a good operator that's sort of like run the term in that pub or whatever and give them an opportunity to come in and do the revamp and let them run it. So it's hard work to try and put like – I think 3 would be okay with what we're doing.
Mm.
Any more than that, you can't really get yourself across more than 3 sites. Yep. It's hard.
Yep. And you've got to find like – you've got to be able to hit, like obviously Palmy, Whanganui, Taranaki is a nice direct line of travel too.
It is.
If you threw in the East Coast, then it's like you're going from Taranaki straight across there trying to fit it all in. Like, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, there's an identity to it too. And even I think some people might say, you know, with the lack of – I haven't been in Palmy Speedway Garage probably – I've probably been there twice and since we opened Whanganui, to be honest, and then once the other night. It's still cool. I like going in there. But, you've got to make sure you don't lose your identity because you've got to have an identity in there sort of chewing the fat and, you know, either upsetting people or making people happy or, you know, that's what Speedway's about. And you want to have people in there that have got a connection to the sport and it's tough, you know. Like Whanganui at the moment, we've put a manager in there who's awesome and he's Speedway we got them from Speedway, so we were lucky there. If you can call production saloons Speedway, which loosely termed, yeah, we will, yeah, just for this. But
they were at SNZ title.
Yeah.
Briefly.
Yeah. But you've got to, so that's hard. You've got to keep the identity, so you don't want to stretch yourself too thin. But they're going well, and it's like I say, the Speedway community is a great community.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Classic example of that is this Saturday. Tomorrow.
Yeah. So this Saturday at Speedway Garage in Palmy, it's Pete Paltridge, Go Slideways. It's his almost 60th birthday. He's 59.
Yeah, Pete would be 59. And I think, like you know, I'm a bit reluctant to promote too much around people's misfortune, I suppose. And Nicola was really keen and wanted to, I think, she was blown away by the support she got at Pete's funeral. And ongoing support and communication and people calling in and checking on her and things like that. So it's a good opportunity for people to pop in there and meet her if they haven't, and or her to be able to thank some people, because obviously she was overwhelmed by the amount of people that turned out.
And a lot of people knew Pete, but a lot of people didn't really know Nicola either.
Yep. So it gives her opportunity to socialise and thank some people. And yeah, we'll have a bit of a slideshow and some of his interviews playing and bits and pieces. This will be a hard case for everyone. And we know Gav obviously was real close, and we plastered the car and Go Sideways this year. And he did bloody well with that on there, didn't he? Pete must have been watching him.
Pete must have been in there with him.
Yeah.
Got to have been. Nah, that'll be cool. And that's on Saturday night at Speedway Garage in Palmy. What other exciting bits are you going to – have you had any more – because I know your mind just goes crazy with ideas and things. I know the Wall of Fame, we've got to update that at some point.
Well, we actually have got our man for that now. Luckily, we waited for a little bit, but we've got that sorted. We need to get that done. And we're going to change Whanganui out because, I can say, Whanganui is if you're not from Whanganui, mate, you're just not in Speedway when you're over there. So, and I love that too about Whanganui. How do you put it? Even though you'd never hear me walking around with a Warriors T-shirt on, buddy, or see me at Teams Champs. Great environment, just really good people, real staunch supporters. It's got to be something in the name, though, being the Warriors, because, I mean, we all support the league team and they let us down at the last minute. I kind of feel like the Warriors Superstock team have such a great support and they do exactly the same thing. So hopefully they'll turn that around.
You can say that from your hometown.
Yeah, eventually they'll win and we'll all be bloody ecstatic, fall over and with shock. But, it's new things. Don't know. We have to consolidate and really just look at what we're up to. But there is a couple of surprises, I suppose, especially next year. Like I said, we want to change the bars up. Just give them we've got enough now to sort of completely change the two of them in terms of other bits and pieces. Always looking for gear. If people want to display something, we just keep the register going and put things in there. But
swap bits in and out. Yeah,
the grid girls were something that we always talked about. We're just getting too old now, because when you roll in with grid girls, everyone will think you're an old pervert. Hey?
Yeah, but I suppose.
If I was 20 years younger, it would have been cool. So what we need is probably some young blood to come and manage the ones we've got, you know, and then they can do it, and then we can sit back and be old pervs. It's not so bad.
What happened to the limo?
The limo was parked in the car park here in Palmy and got hit in the side by a 7-year-old lady backing out of the car park, full nana, and got it right in the right place in the middle to actually concave the whole car. It was a write-off.
Wow. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, so that's why it's been got – it's actually full written off.
It's gone.
So we can thank a 70-year-old lady.
The worst part about that was I was actually working in Whanganui at the time, and we weren't sure if it was going to get written off. It got towed to Hart's and sat there for a few days. The assessor came, and literally within, I don't know, it would have been 48 hours, they'd picked the car up and taken away. It's written off. And Rick says, it's been written off. But it had my Cooper Cobras and the wheels and everything on it, which weren't part of – it was a part of the car as we did it. The wrap, which was that we spent some money on that thing. So trying to find another one at the moment. We've got a couple of options.
So you didn't even get your Coopers back on it?
Nah. And I've seen it on Turners It actually went for more as a wreck than what we bought it for as a car.
So, that's because of the Coopers. Yeah, that's why. They just wanted the tyres.
Exactly. Was it bloody stock car
was
boys.
Was it popular, the limo? You and quite a few people use it? A lot of people use it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. It was hard to, again, it was hard to man at the time, but it was. Yeah. It got driven by a lot of locals. I remember every now and then, if I'd known Boomy, he'd only had one beer and he'd just come in, I'd give him the keys. He was always good to pick up a few people.
He loved it.
Yeah.
He was always keen for some gills in the back.
Yeah, but Bex was never keen, was she?
No. So didn't happen. Nah. Yeah. You wouldn't let him drive it all the way up to Eltham or wherever she is.
Yeah. Whanganui, it was used a lot from just, I mean, here in Palmy, it was mainly the stock car people that used it.
Yeah.
Whanganui, everyone just thought it was pretty cool. So when it was over there, it did a few Ks picking people up. It was good.
Yeah, man. Sweet. What else is happening with your cars and Kings?
The Kings, looks like we'll have our big off-season meeting at prize giving, which we do, which I think is on the 1st of June or something like that for Kiki. So, yeah, we're obviously blooded in some new drivers this year with Pickard. He went really well. It's unfortunate for him that he couldn't make Huntley. Even more unfortunate for Dion Henderson, who couldn't make it past turn two in its debut. had to get that in there. But, yeah, Kings, I think I've kind of been a bit slack with the Kings because we had so much going on with Speedway Garage and obviously Brewers and everything else that we've been doing. Expect to see the Kings back to where they were in terms of the palaver and sponsorship. We've had we've had some considerable sponsors sort of turn over in the last couple of years, so we've got to revisit that. And I think the Superstock class in itself is so much better organised, and it's getting more and more,
more professional
every year. So I'd like to think, how many ever years ago we set a new benchmark for operating that, especially like when we revisited the Wanderers when they first came back, and then it was built on from there to the Kings, and we moved shifted over there, and now we've got to try and think of something to all these other guys have probably surpassed us now, so we need to pull something special out this year and give them a good crack.
Are you going
to
blood any more new drivers?
I don't think we probably need to. We'll probably have a couple drop off.
Yep.
By the sounds of it, they haven't told me that, but the drum is beating, which is okay too. I mean, people, you develop and move on and change. Change is always good. Our core drivers in terms of Mitch and Asher and Gav, they'll stay with us. They're all pretty committed to the club and to the team. It's just been unfortunate for 2 years not having the three on the track at the same time. And having one, Auckland was obviously, it helps get a bit of morale, I suppose, and momentum moving forward and looking at Palmy. It seems to be everything else is a practice, and Palmy's the one that you...
Yep. Well, you've won Huntley last year, or whatever it was. You won Auckland this year. You've just got to make it all fold together at teams.
Just going back, looking like you're just saying there, you and look at Pete. He's won Auckland, I think it's 5 times, and then he's only podiumed here like twice.
With the Giants.
With the Giants,
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's so good. It's actually so good now. It's almost, like I say, when Stu comes on and manages the Kings, I'll be able to step back and become a spectator and actually watch it, because even though we just had a little joke about Whanganui, you wouldn't want to bet against them. They've got a young team, and they've got other young drivers coming because they all enjoy hanging out with each other. Rotorua, when Rotorua won it, those boys all play rugby together. They've grown up together, and that's what the teams think about. Gisborne, we get a bit of stick to manufactured teams, so handpick a good driver. Doesn't always make the best team when they go out the gate. It's real interesting because all of those teams and, even Wellington.
Mm.
Yeah, got that in for you. But they're all pretty much the same. You take a car out in the first lap, you lose a car, you will probably not win that race. Whereas before, we've seen Peter Rees win a race against the
Rebels.
So it's not like that anymore. Probably with the exception of Wanderers, and they'll get their shit together and build their team forward. All of those teams can win any one of those competitions.
Yep.
And it's always last corner, last lap. You look at how many races are won and lost, last lap, last corner, and that just shows how close it is. So it's a cool thing to be, you know, be a part of at the moment.
Like the All-Stars, they've been developing for the last few seasons, and look at them now.
Yeah.
Well, the All-Stars, you know, they would have had the semi-final against you guys in Auckland, but Cody didn't have mirrors. You know, didn't know where anyone was on the track.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just little things like that that make it awesome. Nah. Sweet.
Yeah, so there's not too much happening from my world other than that. Got a bit more time, so I better come in here on a Wednesday and chew the fat.
Beauty.
Might have to learn about other cool things like sprint cars and
Mate Benji races, though, so you can talk to him.
We've got to get Benji. Have you had Benji on?
Yeah,
we have.
A little
while ago. We have. Yeah. He's awesome to talk to, as you'd imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could probably do a whole hour with just Benji.
I think maybe you could rename the show.
The Benji Hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's a good man. And don't hear it. He might be back next year in a Superstock.
Mm. There you go.
Wow. Mm.
There you go. You never know who's going to pop up in Big Red, do you?
Clifford. No. He definitely wouldn't pop up in Clifford. I'd pay to see that.
Well, Dan Hull's having too much fun playing with RZ cars at the moment.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, they're pretty cool. They're pretty cool.
Awesome. Hey, awesome to be on the show. I'll probably pop back at some point down the track, time to time. I'm not going to disappear completely, but from week to week, it's a bit much travelling from Levin and everything as well. And
I was going to play a trumpet, but it should have been a violin. Yeah. This exit speech.
Yeah, exactly. Nah, we'll be back at some point. Just gotta sort out a few things with like yourself. You've had to sort out business. I've got to sort out business as well, and sort out other things. Spend a bit more time. My kids have started to come to Speedway this year, and it's been honestly the best thing ever. Like I didn't think it would be as cool as it is. I thought, kids will come to Speedway. That's pretty cool, something to do. But it's actually really awesome having your kids at Speedway. And, my daughter's actually more into it than my son. So she's obviously a big Bex fan now. I want to get them along a bit more and get them in the environment a bit more. And outside of obviously Speedway, they're doing a few more after-school things like soccer and dancing that I need to get involved with, and well, not such involved, but do the old pickups and drop-offs and everything. So it's just time to change it off. I've stood down from the committee as well at Speedway, so it's all happening. It's all happening. But much
even a midlife crisis, or
a
something,
little bit, hey? A little bit. Hey, I didn't realise, but and I don't mean that, like a lot of people have done Speedway for a long time, eh? And a lot of guys have raced. Like you look at, I haven't raced bugger all, but like. From I didn't realise like, I've been doing stuff in Speedway for a lot of other people for nearly 20 years, since I was 11.
Yeah, it doesn't take long for
whether it's been on the infield, infield as a photographer, or crewing on a car, or racing a car, or being the commentator, or just whatever I've been thrown at. So now it's time to focus a little bit on the commentary and even not go as full on in that. Maybe I might get to watch New Zealand Champs next year, but and the Pumas thing does excite me. It's, you know that from the Kings. It's really cool just being a part of a team.
Well, it's even cooler being part of a team that can podium.
Yeah,
so you'll find that out.
We
maybe
did.
Next year.
We got first in tier two.
So I'm going to have to resign from doing In the Dirt now, because after that, if my wife listens to this and she's, whoa, he's spending time with his family. Yeah, I can't even remember my kids' names.
I heard you got kicked out of there to come and do this because you're sick of you being at home.
Forget where I live. I'm always at work. That's good. You've got your priorities sort of really twisted, and I don't understand a word what you just said to me, what you want to do. I couldn't think of anything else other than doing Speedway in my life, to be honest. I always try and work out how I can jam some more Speedway on top of the Speedway. After talking to that guy from Queensland, my mind is buzzing about how we can get some cars over there and show them.
See, I told you his mind just ticks.
You could show them how to do it. But I feel I'm excited for that guy. I think it's a great thing, but they've got it because we've got it so wrong with so many things we've done here in terms of the cost of the sport, and that can be controlled by the rules. Hopefully we can watch and talk to him in a couple of years and make sure they don't follow that same path.
There's plenty of boys over there that we can talk to.
Oh, plenty. Yeah. Plenty of boys are keen. Plenty of boys are keen.
Well, we might even resurrect Chris Fleck, get him back in the Kings. We'll pop him and he's over there at the moment.
Yeah, there you
go. Send a car over, he can practice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mean. All right, that's our show for this week. You boys are into it next week.
Yeah, and as you said, it's not goodbye forever, but hey, thanks for coming and helping us out for all that, what, 3.5 years, 4.5 years?
4 years,
yeah.
Keeping Bowie's legacy alive, mate. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, awesome, thank you.
Beauty. All right, see you next time.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.